And that is, how can you tell if a person is really a Christian? I don't know if you run into people like that. I know I have. I'm sure that most of us have. But how do you know if one is really saved? How do you know a person is really a Christian? Well, part of the answer to that is that if they are, their faith in God, their faith in His Word will be demonstrated. And that's one of the underlying themes all through the 11th chapter of Hebrews, where we see this hall of fame of faith, men and women who pleased God because they trusted God. But how was it was proven? Well, it was demonstrated in their life through different ways. And tonight I'd like to study about two different men who demonstrated their faith. One demonstrated his faith in the way in which he worshiped, and the other demonstrated his faith in regards to his walk. Let's look at the first man. First man is Abel. He demonstrated his faith by his worship, and we can do the same. It says right here that by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, his brother, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Because of this, he had been declared righteous. Why? Because in faith, he followed what God had said. God had somehow come to these men and had given him his word in regards to how they were to present sacrifice to him, how they were to worship. And of course, Abel's was a blood sacrifice. Cain's was not. Cain did that he had taken from his own work, that of the ground, the fruit and the vegetables, all that. It was contrary to the word of God. His gifts were not accepted because they were not of God, not according to his word. And Abel was one who followed God, and he demonstrated it in how he worshiped. He sacrificed in the right way. And I believe that we can do the same thing in our lives tonight. One way in which we demonstrate our faith is how we worship. Now, there's a lot of different applications we can make on that, but I'd like to apply it especially back to that of Abel. And that is this. If we worship Jesus Christ tonight because he is the one true God and the only way to heaven, then we are giving him appropriate worship. We are ascribing worth to him. Because he is the one who did die. His blood was shed. He rose again from the dead. Saul stated in his word, that is what we have to believe. And when we really believe that and proclaim it in the world in which you and I live, we're marked. We're marked by people in the world. We are considered to be narrow-minded, sometimes even called bigots, because we only believe that there's one way to heaven. And we all know the only reason we believe that is because that's what God says. And praise God, he said it. He made it so easy. Easy to understand. It's simple. There is only one road to eternal life. And when we proclaim that, there are those who really react, sometimes almost violently, because they believe that any road will get you to heaven. You've probably heard that. And it's not true. And all the other religions of the world are false. Praise God, Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And as you and I demonstrate that in our worship of him, worship in public setting like this, a church, and a private setting, as we have our own devotions, as we follow the word of God, other applications we can make, but we are saying Jesus Christ is the one way to God. And we're going to proclaim it. We're going to love people as we share that with them because he loved us. And it's one way we demonstrate our faith. And we should do it tonight in that of worshiping him and him alone. A second way we demonstrate our faith is by looking at Enoch. And that is our walk. What a fascinating statement. Fascinating man. There's one word that's found, I think, three times in verse 5. Look at it again. It says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he was one who pleased God. Now, you probably all know about Enoch back in the book of Genesis. Enoch was a fascinating man because he's one who was just walking with God, and suddenly he was just ushered into heaven. He did not die physically. And the word used here is the word translated. It means to be carried over or carried across. And as I said, it's used three times in that verse to emphasize that. God is the one who did this for him. Why? Because he had this testimony. He was one who pleased God. He was one who walked with God. The word walk is often used in the Bible to describe the way in which we are to live. Colossians 1:10, just one example, says that we are to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, meaning pleasing him. And that is what Enoch did in his life. He pleased God. So he had to be one that through his conduct, through his conversation, by his compassion, was one who showed the work of God and the word of God in his life, pleasing the Lord so much that their fellowship must have been so sweet that he just suddenly found himself walking with the Lord there in heaven. Did not taste physical death. Obviously, he had to be one who walked in holiness. He was separated from sin. He was separated unto his God. He was one who walked in righteousness. He did that which was right. And all of that pleased God. But the main thing that pleased God, according to the context of the chapter here, is that he lived by faith. Because those who live by faith, verse 6, are those who please God. And it's impossible to please him unless we live by faith, trusting him. And again, it had to be a characteristic of Enoch. Amos 3 in verse 3 says, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? Enoch agreed with God. Had to, or he couldn't have walked with him. And so he did that. And he did it in a society that was very wicked. He lived right before the flood, and he was one who was not of the world. He followed the word. He walked with God. He didn't live for himself. He sought to please the Lord. And one way you and I can show faith is by seeking to please God and not ourselves. That we're trusting God, that's what he wants. And we know that as we do that, we demonstrate the aspect of faith in our lives. And it's that which is readily seen by the people. Just let me ask you tonight, is it your desire to please God? And are we demonstrating that we're trusting him, thus pleasing him by the way in which we live? God wants our testimony to be a living testimony of a walk with him. And when we live that way, we will please him. This week I was reading about a former NFL player by the name of Kevin Wyatt. He grew up in Kansas City. He was a star quarterback for the 4A state champion Rockhurst High School in 1982. He excelled at football at the University of Arkansas from 82 to 86. And then he was drafted by the Miami Dolphins. And for the next few years, he played for the Dolphins, the Chargers, and the Chiefs. He completed his pro career after a 1987 season. And yet when he was done, he really had little to show for his six-figure salary. He had no peace in his life. He had no satisfaction. There was nothing but emptiness and loneliness. All that the world had to offer, all that he could have experienced and did experience in the NFL did not meet the deep need in his life. In 1988, he met a man by the name of Dwight Scott, who asked him a very simple question. It's a question I've asked many, many people, I'm sure you have as well, and that is this. If you were to die today, are you sure beyond a shadow of a doubt that you'd go to heaven? And Kevin Wyatt said for the first time in his life, he had no answer, other than trying to defend why he was good, and for some reason that just didn't fit that day. And so shortly after that, he was introduced to the truths of the gospel. He trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior, as he put it, repenting of my sin, putting my faith in Jesus Christ. He then began attending a Baptist church in Kansas City, where Dwight Scott was pastor. In 1991, he surrendered to preach the gospel. He studied under his pastor. He served as a Sunday school teacher, a deacon, a youth leader, a choir member. He attended Bible college. He graduated in 1996. His church then licensed him to preach. He moved to Denver with his wife and his five children, where they started a church. His statement was, we just wanted to be faithful, and leave the results to the Lord. And you know what he named his church? This is just something that Jen and I do. We love to drive, when we drive through towns, we love to look at the churches and see the names of the churches. Some are quite unique. Some are, I think, great. And I love what he named his church, Living Baptist Church. And I'll tell you why I like it. There's too many dead Baptist churches in the world today, dead churches in general. And I wonder what it's like to go to that church and just be confronted with the name of that, hey, if you come here, you're to be having a life that reflects Jesus Christ, that you're alive in him, Living Baptist Church. And maybe we can apply that to our own life, living Christian. Are we living like Enoch did, with a walk with God that pleases him? We do so when we live by faith, and God wants us to live that way. So I'd like for you to consider your walk tonight. I'd like for you to consider your worship and just realize there are two ways that we can demonstrate faith. In the rest of the chapter, there are so many other examples. No doubt we'll study some more, but these are two. as God talks about how important faith is. So let's please him tonight by demonstrating faith in prayer. God's called us to pray, and you're here tonight to do that. Praise God you are. And we will prepare for that here in just a moment. Let's pray right now. Father, thank you again for your word, your goodness to us, the grace of you, Almighty God, the change you bring in our lives. And Father, that when we know you, Savior, then we are really, truly alive, living in you because we serve a risen, living Savior. Thank you for that. And help us realize tonight that as we pray, you're hearing. You hear the cries of your children. Your eyes are upon us. And Lord, we're thankful for that. We're grateful for that because we need you in every aspect of living. We need your wisdom. We want to accomplish your will. We want to accomplish the work of God and experience your ways in our life, all of this and more. So help us that, to do that tonight as a body, as a church, as we pray for one another and pray for this ministry. God, be honored, glorified, and work through these prayers of your saints tonight, I ask, in Jesus' name, amen.